Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
Hello, it's John Buskell here from the Doghouse Studio here in Stockholm, Sweden. Thank you very much for coming along to listen to episode 153 of the show. And today I'm going to be talking about photographs in your marketing mix. Now, I do hope that you are enjoying a bit of summer weather if you're still listening in 2015. And if it's in the middle of the deepest, darkest depths of winter, which will probably no doubt be around the corner here in Sweden very soon, I hope this brings a bit of sunshine to your day. Now, I don't know about you, but I take a lot of photographs. And actually, secret admission coming up here, if I won the lottery, I would, apart from buying a house in Norway, as well as having one in Sweden and France, I would go off and spend huge amounts of time traveling around, taking lots of photographs, having even more basset hounds, and that would pretty much keep me happy, maybe take up painting again. But when I was young, I was very, very interested in art. I started at art school at one stage, but I was never very good at graphic art, graphic design. I was good at all the splodgy stuff, throwing paint on pieces of paper and talking about it. And I think at that time, I would have loved all the digital art that we now have. Goodness me, if we'd had all that when I was 18, 19, maybe I would have done more things with that. But in later life, I've come to find that I can try out ideas with photography that I maybe would have once liked to have done with art. And so to put it, you know, to really sort of think it through, photography for me is incredibly important. It's something that I read about lots of the time. You know, dogs and photography and kettlebells, they're the exercise, you know, they're the things. That's my bag, if you like. Of late, I've been thinking a lot about how we use photographs at Moondog, the importance of photography in our marketing mix, the way that we could do things better. And of course, that gets me thinking about what I could talk to you guys about. So in today's show, I'm going to sort of think through the role of photography in content marketing, try and get some thoughts going with what you're doing, and also to think through and share some of the insights that I've gained through, you know, running an agency and the way that we use images, and predominantly that we work with images with clients as well. So for starters, the bottom line, images are massive. They are phenomenally important. If you look at the rise of social media, look at the rise of social media channels in the last few years. Those that were initially text-driven, for example, Twitter, have rapidly taken on board visual culture, and that photographs are a key feature of the main platforms. Facebook, when was the last time that you actually took time to read or comment on just a text update that didn't include video or photograph? You know, just over breakfast this morning, it's Saturday here in Sweden, over breakfast, I was looking through Facebook, just thinking about, you know, where are the posts without images? Everything has images. I know myself, if I post an update on Facebook that I haven't put an image with, you know, I almost immediately delete it or go in and, you know, it's only by error that I do it. Everyone posts something visual with their update. Twitter introduced, made it easier for images. Now images show up in your timeline. I use Hootsuite to follow, you know, to run up my account, my personal account, Moondog account, customer accounts. And using images is such a fundamental aspect of getting your tweets seen. I don't know if you know this, but if you're on Twitter, if you add an image to your posts, to your updates, they are much more likely to be seen. Of course, this becomes more competitive as everyone adopts this as the standard practice. It gets harder and harder. So the thing with photographs, with images, is that the bar is constantly being raised. But here we've got Facebook over a billion people. Even if you've got a Facebook page, you're going to be using images there. If you are on Twitter, images to get your tweets, your updates seen. There are two programs, applications on the web, which make it very, very easy to add dedicated images to Twitter updates. And that's Canva or Buffer. And I'll put links to those in the show notes over at moondogmarketing.com/153. Canva or Buffer. Canva's my favorite of the two because you can go in and you can add text, you can add your logo. It also offers a different range of sizes for social media platforms. It's really good for making quick images and download them. There are premium aspects to the platform. If you want to use some of the really cooler designs, then you're going to have to pay a little bit for it. But what I tend to do is I take images myself and I try and use as many of those as possible and use the cheapest, i.e. free, although it's not free because it's my time and energy going into putting the work there, to getting the material, to getting the photographs. But I try and use it as free as possible. I very, very rarely pay for anything on Canva. But I do make sure that any tweet update that is specifically related to a business goal has an image. And just by looking at the data that I gather myself, those are the tweets that are the most effective. Of course, if I'm talking about Liverpool or Basset Hounds, I tend not to use images. But certainly for client updates, for anything that we're trying to draw attention to ourselves, I'll include an image. So we've got Twitter as a platform. Images are huge. Facebook, images are fundamental. Then, of course, we've got other platforms where, you know, which are purely image-driven, Instagram, Pinterest. And so I'm going to go on and talk about how we can use these. But first, I just wanted to talk about that as a general level. But let's start out from the key position. And that for me is that as a business, whether you're a solo, a team, whether you're trying to evaluate what your team is doing, the first point of deciding to professionalize or to review and to improve the way that you're using images in your marketing mix is to be strategic. You've got to think about what goal you've got in mind. We want to use images to improve the way that we're thought of online, for example. It could be about the branding of your business. It could be that you decide we want to use images to drive people to come into our website and buy our products or services. You know, there you've got your goal. So you take your goal and then you identify the strategy and the tactics that you need to implement to get that goal achieved. And then, of course, you can identify, you can work out the analytics, the key performance indicators that you're going to measure to see how well that's working, how it's doing for you, and what you need to tweak, whether images with funny faces, comic stuff gets more value, more traction than more serious somber, whether if they're over-branded, that it's clearly for business, so people don't really want to engage because they prefer to engage with the personal. So I thought while I was making show notes here, I've broken it down into website, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and I'm going to talk through a little bit about these. And I thought we'd start off with your home base. I always try to stress that a company's website is where you should. That's the platform where you're really building things out, because anyone else can change things and it can go away. Look at Google. Look at the Google Plus platform. It's really, really being quietly. I think if you're in the marketing space, you know that Google have been saying things about splitting it up and breaking it up. But you'll see that in Google Plus, you know, it's not as a fully committed, fully integrated platform that it first seemed that it was going to be, and that we all jumped on board and thought, oh, this is going to be the new Facebook, etc., etc. So your website, your company website, is your home base. That is the thing that you are in control of completely, 100% yourselves. On a website for a company, how are you using your images? In an era of social, it's very much a case of us wanting to show that show the people behind a business. Now, I'm not saying that this is a cookie cutter one fit for everyone, but I've been thinking through what I see, you know, those broad strokes of what I see as a way that works. And for me, the bottom line is that we do business with people. If you're thinking about companies within the B2B space, we do business with people. We trust these people, so we'll buy the service from them. We trust this company's products, so we will start a conversation. I think increasingly, what I'm attracted to when evaluating B2B companies is those B2B companies that show a flavor of who they are. We've just been working, we are working with a British company at the moment, very, very interesting. And they started out by using cartoon sketches of the key founders of the company. Really, really great drawings. I really like them. However, within their goal of positioning themselves as social, we at Moondog, we looked at the way the images were being used and we examined other players in that particular industry. And one of the things that we decided, we came down on the side of is that using a cartoon seemed to distance the target audience from the company, particularly because the founders of this company are doing quite a bit of work as thought leaders. They are really, really smart guys, wonderful thought leaders, really wonderful, really enjoying working with them. But if you're going to establish yourself as a thought leader in your industry, using that kind of image, a cartoon of yourself, does create a barrier of sorts. Now, there are people that have used cartoons, that have used drawings in their branding and done very, very well. I mean, look at the podcast Answer Man, Cliff Ravenscraft, fabulous guy, built a fabulous business. And, you know, his initial logos always used a cartoon drawing of himself. Now, as he was sharing on Facebook this week, there's a new logo for the podcast, which uses a photograph of Cliff. And I think it's fabulous. It's really, really good. And it actually ties in very, very nicely with what Cliff has been doing on Instagram as he's been sharing his personal fitness journey. Really, it seems a natural synergy, a natural connection between his Instagram account of showing an insight into what he's been doing to, you know, get fit and inspire people, train with Cliff, fabulous. And then that seems to have fed in to the new branding for his show. Emphasis on the personal, if you like. Really love that. So I think what I'm trying to say here is that by showing yourselves, showing the personal side of a company, that you reduce the barrier between yourself and the prospect. Go along to moondogmarketing.com/about. If you look at the About Us team, you know, we use photographs. You see a bunch of guys with no hair. Jen, who looks wonderful. Sebastian with his great smile. They're not the best of pictures, I think. We talk through this again and again, what kind of pictures are right for us. We're not 100% happy with them. We do need to do something about it. But I think we try to err on, you know, I look slightly more formal. I'm the eldest in the team, the head of the team, if you like, or head. I use that very loosely because we're an incredibly flat organization. You know, there's the creative side of the designer that's Ranjo. You know, he's got his glasses on that show that kind of creativity. You know, I know he does not wear those all the time, but, you know, super cool. Sebastian with his slightly corporate look as well. You know, he's quite a, you know, serious member of the team. But what we're trying to do there is that we're consciously trying to think through the image of ourselves that we put out there that fits with the overall branding, designery, creatively, but also with a B2B intent, because we work with people on both sides of the line, if you like. But it's something that we're thinking through and that's constantly in our discussion process for our evolving website. You know, we're going to be making some changes. We've got a more tweaked version that hopefully will be coming out when Ranjo gets back from his vacation. We've been thinking through the images there. What are you doing in the way that you tell your story through photographs about your company? Have you got the story of the founders? Have you got the story of who you are told through images? Some of the sites that, some of the strategies that I see a lot is that you see on an about page, you see a serious picture of the team. And then as you mouse over, as you roll over the image, you see the team pulling silly faces. I really like that because it shows both sides of the people. Some companies just have silly pictures of the team per se. It's almost as if they're working against that corporate image. Others are very, very, very formal. We've just been working with a company in the States that are, you know, working at a government level. And there, of course, they need much more, you know, much more corporate photography. Think through strategically the images that of yourselves on the website. What story is that telling about you? Now, when we talk about blogs, and I'm sure that many of you who are listening to this show have blogs for your business. So many of us use stock photography on our blogs. We write the post. We're short of time. We rush around. We try and find the right image. We use Creative Commons from Flickr, or perhaps we sneakily Google something and take something that's the copyright is a little bit fuzzy or bad and just get it out there. But how much time do you actually think about those images that you use? Are you testing how they work on the page? Did you know, for example, that images that are to the right of a blog post pull more people down the page? I can tell you this because, I mean, there have been studies about it, but also I see it just from running heat maps on websites that if you've got an image to the right, people scroll down. It's like it pulls the eye. Are you actually spending time taking photographs to illustrate your blog posts? That would say so much more about you. If you're a really high-end business, maybe you need to be purchasing stock photography, expensive photographs to convey exactly that feel for your business. I want you to, you know, just come away from this brief thought here. Are you cognizantly aware of the strategy that you're using on your blog with images? I've been obsessed in 2015 with typography and text, and I've been trying repeatedly to not use images in blog posts because I read a lot of blogs on iPads, on my iPad, and it drives me mad when images take up so much space, and I've really been focusing on text and reading. But I don't think it works so well in terms of user engagement on pages, so that's something that we'll be seeing different on the Moondog blog going forward. In the past, I used lots of images. Now, recently in 2015, I've been text fixated. And going forward, there will be more images. What's your thought? What's your strategy? What's your tactic for your own website when it comes to images? Now, let's think a bit about social. I already talked a bit about Twitter and I talked about Facebook. Let's talk about social. Do you make a differentiation between what you're doing on your website and your social strategy? Many of us are on Twitter, on Instagram, we use Facebook for our business. Do we actually take time to strategically think about the images that we're using, or are we just bunging them out there? The approach at Moondog is that each of us run our individual social accounts, and we only have one thing that we specifically do in terms of Moondog, and that's to use the hashtag 515photo. It's a remnant of an old client account. We suggested the hashtag 515photo. They used it very, very briefly, and it petered out, and we were the only ones doing it and using it, and we sort of took it over. Of course, you yourself can use 515photo. Photo hashtag 515photo. By all means, do. You'll appear in connection with us. But we've been using this hashtag as a way of trying to make something our own. And in fact, you know, when I've spoken at conferences, people have commented on, oh yeah, you're the guy that uses the 515 photo hashtag. Bernie J. Mitchell, he also uses it a lot himself, and he's pushing it on his new podcast, which I'll put a link to in the show notes. The 515 photo hashtag, that's one of the things that we just wanted to associate ourselves with by using consistently. I post a huge amount of Bassett photos that are tagged 515 photo. Moondog. There is a reason that there is a dog in the name of my company, because dogs are such an important part of my life. Dogs are associated with Moondog. Business people, we do business with people, have dogs. And really, in such a global market, one of the things that I try, that people get connected with me, is because they have dogs. That if you're looking for a marketer or a marketing company where there is a dog or a cat or something that people connect with on a personal level, it's one of the ways of reducing those barriers, of reducing friction to content. It shows something of who I am. You know, it'd be different if I had Rottweilers, or if I had Dobermans, or if I had Chihuahuas, for example. It would say different things about us. Maybe the Basset says, oh, a little bit lazy, a little bit slow, but they're super loving and super cute. And I like to think they reflect the absolute doggedness that we as a company bring. We will hunt something down and keep going, and we'll sniff out everything to make your business work. But you see, my personal use of photography underlines, underscores something that ties in with our brand. That's one of the things that I do for Moondog on Twitter and on Facebook. It's not just friends that connect with me on Facebook, or other Basset Hound breeders, Basset people, if you like. Now, my particular pet peeve on Instagram in particular is the number of brands, of businesses, solo entrepreneurs, that pimp their services on a daily basis with a product image, or it's something that's so obviously a company, someone trying to sell. That drives me mad, and I immediately tend to unfollow them. You know, I really do. I cannot stand that. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. But if you're doing that kind of approach, if you've thought about that approach, are you measuring the success of it? It's very difficult with Instagram in particular to see the value of those images, because Instagram doesn't let you have links out. Everything is within the platform. I really quite like that. So if you're pimping your products on Instagram and you can't get people to click through, maybe that might not be working for you, because the funnel there, the channel of click-throughs, is much, much harder than, say, for example, on Twitter. I can understand it more on Twitter, because Twitter is a way of, you know, I follow thousands of people, and the news or items find me, I see something of interest, I click through, and I either, you know, act on it or I don't act on it. I can accept it more there. But Instagram seems to be much more about the personal. What's your position on this? Are you trying to use Instagram in a personal way? Does it fit with your business? Or are you overly trying to focus on products? I think if you're a dog trainer, a karate personal sports trainer, you know, if you're doing things like that, then it's great to show what you're doing, because showing rather than telling people what you are or what you do seems, for me, one of the great ways in which we make connections in business. So I'd encourage you to think about, if you're using something like Instagram as a broadcast platform for your products, is that working? Could you be showing a more personal insight into who you are, what the company is, what you guys do, to bring people to it? I saw a really, really good, interesting example of this, and connected Chris immediately. This is Chris Marr, a content marketer in Scotland. And I really love what Chris does on Instagram. He puts quotations, inspiring quotations out there on Instagram. And what caught my eye this week was a picture of his desk. He made a comment. that he, you know, I know Chris has been talking about a standing desk and being a standing desk, what's the word? Not affiliate. I'm a diehard standing desk person. Yes, there you are. I often have the dogs under the desk. I like to stand for a huge part of the time, even though I have a dodgy knee at the moment. Chris, he posted a picture of his new standing desk or what he was doing with his desk. And he made a comment about marketer Gary V and a poster there. And I reached out to Chris and I said, Chris, are you with that image just showing something about yourself personally, or is this a business intent? And Chris messaged me back to say, in the main, I'm communicating with other business people. My friends aren't that active on Instagram, quote unquote, and I think it's the business brand, business storytelling, a small snippet into my life as a business owner, quote unquote, that I'm getting across. And he also goes on to say that he did a tour around his office on Periscope the other day, and it was the same thing there. That was what he was trying to get across, that his use of images was part of his business branding, of telling the story of his business, not in a promotional way, but sort of getting an insight into who content marketer Chris Marr is. And you'll find Chris at thecontentmarketingacademy.co.uk. Link to Chris's work in the show notes over at moondogmarketing.com/153. What Chris is trying to get across here is that he's showing a personal insight. He's a business active on social media, but he does that in a way that gives you the sense of the personal, that you go, oh, that's Chris's office. I can relate to that. I too am a standing desk person or a desk person. What could you do as a business on social platforms that gives people a sense of the personal, that will make connections, that will ultimately drive people through to who you are and what you're doing, that it will reinforce your goals, what you believe in, what you stand for, the dedication you bring? I think that for me is where there is value in social, or rather the use of photography in social channels. Now, where I do think there is room for your great products, there is room to be more formal, is Pinterest. Pinterest is an incredibly powerful platform to showcase your products. We try and put Moondog on our Moondog account. We try and put examples of all the adverts we make for companies, the graphic work that we do, websites that we do. You can use it not just for your products. You can also use it for your philosophy, your mission. A lot of people put quotations on Twitter. If you're doing that, are you also putting your quotations, your inspirations, your thoughts on Pinterest boards? So they, you know, you could be, as a business, as a small business, as a solo entrepreneur, you could be absolutely inundated with the kind of platforms that you could be working with images on your website, image strategy there. Facebook, if you've got a Facebook page, or if you're using your personal page because you have lots of connections there, what's the strategy there? How are you using it on Twitter if you're there? How are you using it in LinkedIn? Again, content creation, blogging on LinkedIn is very powerful. What kind of images are you using there, given that it's a much more business-orientated platform? Pinterest, are you using that to showcase more formal images of the work that your company do? Instagram, are you making connections, personal storytelling about those aspects that feed into your business? I'd love you to go away and think about this. And if you've got some feedback, do come back to me at John Buskell on Twitter, JONBUSCALL, or you can send me a message just through contact form at Moondog Marketing, moondogmarketing.com/contact. Final word on images: what kind of gear do you need? Do you need a super expensive DSLR, digital camera, one of those high-end things? Could be a really good investment, given that the bar of quality seems to be rising all the time. Here's a tip. With Google Drive, if you take your photographs, if you take photographs with your DSLR, you know, a better digital camera than, say, for example, you have on your cell phone, if you take images and you put them in Google Drive and then use the Drive app on your cell phone, it's a really easy way of getting good quality photographs into things like Instagram. You can only post to Instagram from mobile or now through Hootsuite. Hootsuite's just introduced Instagram integration. It's a very, very good way of getting better quality images, I think. But of course, cell phones themselves, smartphones, have fabulous cameras on them. And this is something, of course, that's going to keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. It's just going to get better and better. It is just so exciting to see where things are going to go. Well, I'm going to wrap things up there because I've gone on, I can see. But I just like talking about images, and that I do believe they're a fundamental part of content marketing now. It's not going to go away. It's going to become increasingly powerful. Images are so much about holding our attention span. We have some short attention span. And I do think that images are a great way of people catching people's attention in these huge streams of social updates. So I'm out of here. I'll be back very soon with another episode from me, John Buskell, in the Doghouse studio. Thank you very much for listening.
Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
As always, recorded in the Doghouse studio. For more, visit moondogmarketing.com.